Welcome to Blog Bytes, where we bring the best engineering blogs to life in bite-sized audio episodes. I'm Jitin, joined by my co-host Sunil, and together we break down complex tech insights into engaging, easy-to-digest conversations. Whether you're commuting, coding, or just curious, we've got you covered. No fluff, just sharp, insightful discussions straight from the latest engineering blogs. Let's dive in and decode today's topic, one bite at a time.
Welcome, everyone. Today, we're dissecting a real juicy topic, DeepSeek. It's been causing quite the stir, hasn't it?
You could say that. It's the talk of the town, from the AI enthusiasts to the seasoned experts. Everyone's trying to figure out if it's revolutionary or just hype. So buckle up, listeners, because we're diving deep into DeepSeek.
Absolutely. It's kind of hard to ignore, and for good reason. The claims they're making are pretty bold, and it's definitely ruffled some feathers. Some people are calling it a game changer, others are more skeptical.
It's like they threw a giant rock into a very still pond. The ripples are definitely being felt. It's got everyone talking, from the casual AI enthusiasts to the hardcore researchers.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so interesting about it. It's not just another incremental improvement. They're talking about significant breakthroughs in reasoning capabilities, and that's a big deal.
So let's dive into the specifics. They've got this DeepSeek R1, which is their first-gen reasoning model. They're claiming it has remarkable reasoning capabilities, even without supervised fine-tuning. Pretty impressive, if true.
Yeah, that R10, the one trained with just reinforcement learning, is a fascinating starting point. They admit it has some issues, like readability and language mixing, but the fact that it shows such strong reasoning abilities without that initial fine-tuning step is pretty wild.
Right, it's like it's learning to reason purely through trial and error, figuring things out on its own. Then they build on that with the DeepSeek R1, adding multi-stage training and cold start data to refine it further. They're even comparing its performance to OpenAI's models, which is a bold move.
And let's not forget the two big breakthroughs they're touting, DeepSeek MoE and DeepSeek MLA. That MoE, or mixture of experts, is where things get really interesting. It's a faster training approach, and we've seen it in models like GPT 3.5 and 4.
Basically, instead of using the whole model for every task, they split it into specialized experts. Only the relevant experts are activated for a given task, which makes it way more efficient. It's like having a team of specialists, each with their own area of expertise.
Exactly. And DeepSeek's implementation of MoE in V2 is supposedly even more innovative. They've got these finely grained, specialized experts and shared experts with more general capabilities. Plus, they've apparently found ways to make the training process more efficient too, which is a big deal with MoE.
Then there's DeepSeek MLA, or multi-head latent attention, which is another big one. It's all about tackling the memory limitations that come with large language models, especially when dealing with long context windows.
Yeah, the memory requirements for these models can be insane. DeepSeek MLA is supposed to compress that key value store, making inference way less memory intensive. It's a crucial improvement if you want to use these models in real world applications.
Okay, so DeepSeek V3, 671 billion total parameters, 37 billion active, trained on a massive 14.8 trillion tokens. Let's break down how they structured this beast.
Seven key architectural highlights. First, that mixture of experts, or MoE, approach we talked about. They're using fine-grained experts, smaller, more specialized, and a subset of these are shared across different tasks.
Which makes sense. Specialization, but without unnecessary redundancy. And second, they've got this load balancing loss function to ensure the hardware is utilized efficiently. Clever stuff.
And there's the third one. Multi-head latent attention, MLA. This is the memory-saving magic. It compresses the key-value store, making the whole thing much more manageable during inference. They claim a 93% reduction in KV cache size compared to a dense 67 billion parameter model.
Huge. Next up, fourth, is the multi-token prediction, or MTP. This is about parallelizing token generation, getting 2-3x throughput improvement. Instead of predicting just the next token, it predicts several future tokens at once.
So it's looking ahead, trying to anticipate what's coming next. Smart. So the fifth highlight is the quantization down to FP8, just for context. FP8 is an 8-bit floating point format optimized for deep learning, offering lower memory usage and computational cost, while maintaining accuracy. It's particularly beneficial for large-scale AI models like LLMs, providing a more efficient alternative to FP16 and FP32. So for DeepSeek-V3, FP8 saves a ton of memory, up to 75%, without compromising stability. They are also using adaptive bit-width scaling and loss-aware quantization techniques.
Resourceful, for sure. And the sixth highlight is that they've somehow managed to eliminate the load balancing loss, making it even more efficient. Plus, they are using reinforcement learning, or RL, in a really innovative way.
Yeah, and the last one, Group Relative Policy Optimization, or GRPO, is fascinating. It's a more efficient way to do reinforcement learning, getting rid of the need for a separate value function model. It compares possible outputs as a group and ranks them, making the optimization process faster and cheaper. They have also explained that GRPO reduces the compute cost because there is no need to train separate evaluation model during reinforcement learning training.
Okay, so we've covered the architecture, but how did they actually train this behemoth? The training process is where things get really interesting.
Absolutely. They started with supervised fine-tuning, or SFT, to avoid the instability that can happen in the early stages of reinforcement learning. They collected a bunch of 10,000 token long chain of thought data using fine-tuned models and human annotations, then used that to fine-tune the DeepSeek V3 base model.
Focusing on readability and coherence, right? Getting the basics down before moving on to the more complex stuff. Then comes stage two, reinforcement learning for reasoning. They focused on tasks like coding and math using rule-based reward models.
And they added a reward for language consistency to make sure the model sticks to one language. That seems like a small detail, but it's important for getting coherent outputs.
For sure. Then stage three is where they generate a massive synthetic dataset using rejection sampling, focusing on writing, role-playing, and other general tasks. They use the model from stage two as a judge to generate these samples. For example, imagine a professor randomly picks student essays to grade, but only wants well-written ones. They reject poorly written essays and keep selecting until they find good ones. That's rejection sampling, where we keep trying until we get a valid sample from the desired distribution.
So they're basically bootstrapping the training process, using the model itself to create more training data. Pretty cool. And then finally, stage four, more reinforcement learning, this time focused on helpfulness and harmlessness, using a combination of rule-based and outcome reward models,
leading to the final DeepSeek R1 model. The whole process is a multi-stage approach, combining SFT and RL, and using this innovative GRPO for reinforcement learning. But the biggest debate around this is compute power and cost.
Right. That 2.8 million H800 GPU hours number, with the quoted cost of $5.6 million, seems impressive. But I am not sure if I should trust these numbers as is.
There are so many hidden costs they haven't considered. First, they only account for the final model training, not all the experimentation and failed runs that inevitably happen during development. Think about developing the multi-head latent attention. That must have taken months of trial and error, costing both time and money, right? And they're only factoring in the cost of the GPUs themselves. What about the networking, the data center co-location, the electricity and the maintenance? These costs can add up quickly.
Absolutely. And then there's the capital expenditure. You can't just rent a cluster of 2048 H800 GPUs for 2 months and call it a day. There are long-term commitments and capital investments involved, or massive cloud contracts. It's not just a simple rental. This easily multiplies the cost by a factor of 4 or 5.
Totally. So realistically, the actual cost of training DeepSeek is likely much higher, probably closer to $80 million to $100 million.
Yeah, I'd say that's a more accurate estimate. Still, it's a remarkable achievement, regardless of the cost. The innovations in their architecture and training methodology are genuinely impressive.
So, there you have it, folks. DeepSeek, a fascinating dive into the world of large language models. Definitely a wow moment for AI. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to the DeepSeek paper, links to some of the blog post links, and even Reddit threads from where we curated this deep dive. That's a wrap for this episode of Blog Bytes. If you enjoyed today's breakdown, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review. It helps us keep bringing you the best engineering insights in audio form. Got a blog you'd love to hear on the show? let us know. Until next time, keep building, keep learning, and stay curious. This is Jeetan, signing off with my co-host, Sunil. See you in the next bite.